old Michael look. That's for me. I hope everyone knew that song right before the lesson. They'll always think of that song as a children's song. But that should be an adult song too. The song across the page, I don't know if you noticed when you were singing that song, but the next song is titled, you know, Jesus Loves the Little Children. And it goes along, Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, all are precious in His sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world. So in our text, I want to read it again for you. I put it even in your notes this morning at the top of the outline. You're very welcome to follow along. But they brought young children to Jesus, or to Him, that He would touch them. Disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, He was much displeased. Said to them, "Oh, allow the little children to come to Me. Forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say to you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he'll not enter in." He took them up into His arms, put His hands on them, and blessed them. So the lesson this morning is, how can we bless the children just as Jesus did? I'm not sure what Jesus did in that, in blessing them, but I've given some ideas for us in ways that we may bless the children. Number one, bless the children by encouraging them. By encouraging them. There's three different actions in the text that was read to us. First of all, we have the parents of the children. They merely wanted Jesus to touch them. Jesus, would you just reach out? Take hold. Then you have the disciples. They rebuked those or the parents that brought them. Perhaps, I don't know why this doesn't give the reason, maybe they thought the children would interrupt their time with Jesus. Maybe they thought the children would be an annoyance. Maybe they thought the children would be a distraction in their adult conversation with Jesus. I don't know. But Jesus wouldn't have any of it. He rebukes the disciples. "Don't you forbid those children from coming to Me." So Jesus, it says, was much displeased, and He encourages them with the words, "Allow them to come. Don't forbid them." One of the highest human duties I think we have in all relationships is to be encouraging. But sometimes I think, like the disciples, it's easy to pour cold water on a child's enthusiasm. It's easy to discourage children. Because if you're like our boys, they're growing up, our grandchildren, you know, children are busy. They're active, curious, restless. They're not shy about letting their needs to be known. Children provide us opportunities sometimes to be like the disciples. Or they be negatives. Children make a mess. They're loud. They throw things. They scream. They're into things. So if you're sitting around children, be warned. Something may come by your head at any moment. But they're precious. Heard one mom say, or one little boy said about his mom, says, "I don't understand it. My mom says she's tired, but I'm the one that has to take a nap." "I'm tired, you take a nap." Bible says in Psalm 127, children are a heritage of the Lord. Children are a God thing. In Matthew 18, verse 10, another time when Jesus entertains the children, he says, "Take heed that you despise not one of these little ones." So we want to be a blessing to our children and encourage our children. Be a blessing. Number two, we can bless the children by setting a good example for them. The example of the parents in the story was wonderful. They're bringing the children to Jesus. The example of the disciples was terrible. They wanted to rebuke those that brought them. So Jesus teaches and leads by example. He takes the children up into His arms, puts His hands on them, and blesses them. We need the power of example to be toward our children. In 2 Timothy 1 verse 5, says Paul, writes to Timothy, "I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in you, Timothy." You have faith, Timothy. It dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice. And I'm persuaded that it's in you also. You're looking around the auditorium. We have generations of families here. We have grandparents, parents, and grandchildren. The Apostle Paul, concerning an example, he said in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, "Follow me." But it's as I follow Christ. Power of example. Peter describes Jesus in 1 Peter 2, verse 21. Says, "For even hereunto were you called," that's us, "because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example." Oh, examples. That we should follow His steps. So Paul reminds Timothy, you had a grand example in your grandmother and mother. Paul says, "Follow me as I follow Christ. Watch me," Paul says. And then even Jesus, follow His step. He left us an example. So the challenge we have is to be an example for our youth, in our homes, in our communities, and in the congregation. Be an example. So if you want your children to attend, you'll have to come, parents. Number three, bless the children by seeing the future of a child. Jesus did that in the text. When the disciples saw children, they saw problems. The disciples saw children and says, "Oh, children, you're going to mess this thing up. This fellowship and this association we have with Jesus." But Jesus saw a child's future. So Jesus takes this visual of children coming to Him and He compares that to the coming kingdom. In verse 15, He says, "Whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter in. And of such," Jesus said, "is the kingdom." Meaning a childlike spirit or attitude has heavenly potential. Adults should imitate the enthusiasm that children have in coming to Jesus. He's saying we adults need to copy the children's demeanor. You ever notice how much children enjoy Bible class? They love to sing the Bible songs. They anticipate putting a quarter in the collection plate. That's what my parents always did us when we were growing up. We always had a quarter to put in the plate. We adults need to copy that. Not putting a quarter in the plate, but I mean that. But I mean singing the songs and coming to Bible class. always enjoy, and it's rather heartwarming, and I know it, you probably haven't said it, but I know you've experienced the same feeling. But I just get a warm feeling in my heart every time I see Eli and Evie running to Bible class on Wednesday night and Sunday mornings. Grandma's behind them, and she's saying, wait, I'm your teacher. Wait for me. But they run. My two grandsons are here today, and they just got up and went back to the classroom to see who new grandma was teaching. Who knows? Right here in this assembly, maybe sitting one of the most productive members of the church that this century will ever know. Bless the children by seeing the future of that child. I don't know who the author is of the poem. It says, I saw tomorrow marching on little children's feet. Within their forms and faces, read her prophecy complete. I saw tomorrow look at me from little children's eyes and thought how carefully I'd teach if I was really wise. See the future of the children. You see tomorrow. Number four, I put bless the children by introducing them to Jesus. In verse 13, it says they brought young children to him, to Jesus. And in verse 14, Jesus said, don't forbid them. Don't discourage the children from coming. Don't stop them. Don't send them away. The wise man Solomon said in Ecclesiastes 12, verse 1, remember now thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Why would God want young people or children to remember Him? Why? Why would God write that to an adult generation? God, He's saying, oh, children, and it's addressed to children, not to the adults, children. Remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Sometimes children think, oh, we're exempt. Well, maybe the small ones won't understand this, but as you get older, wait a minute, I need to remember God while I'm young. Why? Because right now, as you know, children are eager learners. Think about how much children learn the first 5 years of their life. I haven't learned that much in the last 5 years. They've learned from that baby in arms, the first 5 years, even go 10 years, from the time from age 0 to 5 years old, they've learned to walk and talk. And lots of other things. Just think about that. They've memorized ABCs and numbers and names. Right now, why does God want children to remember Him? Because they can. They can. Second, I think, because when they get older, they will not depart from that teaching. What they learned in their youth, they'll still remember. Number three, seeing young people interested in Jesus gives hope to us older members of the congregation. We wonder about the future of the congregation. But I don't have to wonder when I see an abundance of young people or children in the pews. There goes tomorrow, marching on little children's feet. When we see young people involved in the life of the church, it keeps us older members active and enthusiastic. So you ever wonder, why did God say, children, remember thy Creator in the days of your youth? That's why. Fathers have that charge also. Don't just say, children, remember your Creator. Dads, fathers. Ephesians 6, verse 4, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Wonder why he didn't emphasize, bring those children up in public schools. No. You bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. Sure, bring them up in educational settings. But you don't leave God out of that picture, Dad. just don't. You will answer it. The direct now charge is fathers. Direct admonition, charge, challenge, command. Fathers. The value of Bible knowledge is seen in 2 Timothy 3, verse 15. Paul said, from a child, Timothy, you've known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. Timothy, where did you get your faith from? From the Holy Scriptures. When did you start studying the Holy Scriptures? When I was a child. Ah. Bless the children by introducing them to Jesus. In 1 Samuel 1 verse 11, there's a story of Hannah praying for a son. She said, God, if you will answer my prayer, I'll give him unto the Lord all the days of his life. That's right. She saw children as being a heritage of the Lord. God, if you give me a child, I'll give him back to you through instruction and teaching. What if that were the resolution of every Christian parent? So bless the children by encouraging them, by setting an example before them, by seeing the future of the child, by introducing them to Jesus. One last poem. Close with this one. The title of the poem is God's Loan. God's Loan. I'll lend you for a little time a child of mine, God said, for you to love the while he lives and mourn for when he's dead. It may be 6 or 7 years or 22 or 3, but will you till I call him back take care of him for me? He'll bring his charms to gladden you. And should his stay be brief, you'll have these precious moments as solace for your grief. I can't promise he will stay since all from earth return. But there are lessons taught down there I want this child to learn. I've looked this whole world over in my search for teachers true. And in the crowds that throng life's land, I've selected you. Now, will you give him all your love? Not think the labor vain, nor hate me when I come to call to take him back again. It seems to me, I heard them say, dear Lord, thy will be done. For all the joys thy child shall bring, the risk of grief will run. We'll shelter him with tenderness. We'll love him while we may. And for the happiness we've known, forever grateful stay. The last, and should the angels call for him, much sooner than we've planned, we'll brave the bitter grief that comes and try to understand. Don't know how long we have our children. Obviously, you know some people longer than others. Talking to a man, having coffee with him this week, and we just kind of asking stories about his family, and he said, Where did you work? And he told me, and then he said he and his son got into a business. Then he said his son passed away from melanoma cancer. And I said, really? He said, yeah, he was 55. Ted's 86. Well, how old are you, Ted? Son died at 55. And we've read stories of people dying or children dying a lot younger too. So yeah. So we need as parents to take care of the children God has loaned us. And don't forbid them to come to Jesus. That's the lesson. Always at the close of a lesson, we sing a song of encouragement. Sing a song of invitation, song of exhortation. If you're here this morning and not a member of the New Testament church, meaning you're not a Christian, you've never been baptized for remission of sins, we We extend that invitation to come and do that. During the singing of this song, if you would respond in a public way and come have a seat beside me, just let that request be known. The simple plan or procedure to become a Christian is, number one, just hear the Word of God, the gospel message, the good news salvation message. Second, believe it. Jesus said in John 8, verse 24, except you believe that I am He, you'll die in your sins. So hear and believe it. Jesus also said there's a third step or procedure in Luke 13, verse 3. I tell you, nay, except you repent, you shall all in like manner perish. So we want to turn our lives around. Turn it toward God. Number four, we want to confess our faith that Jesus Christ is God's Son. The Ethiopian did that when Philip preached to him Jesus. An Ethiopian stops Philip in the midst of his sermon and says, well, here's water. What hinders me from being baptized? And that's the fifth step. Because Philip told the Ethiopian, if you believe, you may. And the Ethiopian responded, well, I believe that Jesus Christ is God's Son. Philip stopped the chariot. And they go down into the water, both Philip and the Ethiopian, and Philip baptizes him. And they come up out of the water, and the Ethiopian goes on his way rejoicing, having believed and obeyed. And that's the invitation we always extend. You're subject to it. If you haven't answered that call, just please come while we're singing this song and have a seat beside me. I'll just simply ask you a question at the end of the song. What's on your mind? And your answer would be, Brian, I want to be baptized. Or Brian, I want brother to pray with me or for me. We can do that. So let's stand together and sing the song of encouragement, song of invitation that Dennis has selected for us. If that's your desire, if that's your resolve to respond in a public way, please do so while we're singing this song.
Seeking the lost, yes, kindly entreating, wanderers on the mountain astray, come to me, His message repeating, words of the Master speaking today.
Into the fold
of my redeemed.